There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
Another episode of Good Day Health with Dr. Jack Stockwell. I'm Doug Steffen. Jack is a board-certified NUCA chiropractor, 27 board-certified NUCA doctors in the entire world. He's one of them, so we feel special to have him here from his perch in Salt Lake City where his clinic is. Also, he and his wife Mary have produced a fabulous website, ForbiddenDoctor.com. During the course of the hour, we'll talk about some of the things there that are of note. Ways to Save Your Heart, podcast 103. We'll get into the nuance of that. There's a study out this week, you're going to love this, Jack, which suggests that there are more children on psychiatric drugs than ever before. Not that I think that this is news to most people, but the story starts out with a 22-month-old toddler who was nicknamed the Red Tornado for his auburn hair and his penchant for tearing things up, jumping off the furniture, running around the house. And he was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder and prescribed by the time he was four, he was on Ritalin.
Wow.
There are 200,000 children his age. This is not an isolated case. The number of 2 to 4 year olds on psychiatric drugs, including Ritalin and Prozac, up 50% since the 90s. Experts say that they are troubled by the findings. Duh. Troubled by the findings. Isn't that amazing?
Well,
how we have allowed our country to get hooked starting at 2 years of age on these things, supposedly, legitimately, through medical connections.
You know how some of these news programs, local news or national, have that little ticker running across the bottom of the screen.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. And the one yesterday that caught my attention was incidence of autism on the rise, perhaps by better diagnosis methods. And I broke out in laughter when I saw that. No, it's not better diagnosis. There's just a lot more kids with autism. And there's going to be that many more that are going to be given drugs for it.
I saw that as well, and I talked about it on the air. Why is it that there is more, it seems very easy for us to figure this out, but yet a lot of people are not figuring it out. And I wonder whether they're just not paying attention. What is there about this that's so difficult to figure out?
Well, I think you're right in the sense that a lot of people aren't paying attention to this. But Stephanie Seneff is a PhD researcher at MIT, just down the street from where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And she says by 2025, 1 in 2 children will be born with autism, and the other one will be in no condition to take care of the one that has autism by the time they're adults.
She blames it on our country. We ruined our life.
Yeah, she blames it on glyphosate, which I think really has a lot to do with this. But it's primarily the health of the mother that is giving birth to this child. Either the mother's mother, the grandmother, had poor health and put the seeds of that into her daughter, who is now having the children, or the mother herself, the prenatal nutrition is terrible. Mm-hmm. And then you have a baby that, again, it comes back to the gut. And you and I have talked about this so many times. I was just reading this experience yesterday of someone who said, you talk about the gut. And I said, okay, let's go have a beer. I don't go out and have a beer with anybody. I just said, let's go.
I can't imagine you.
Yeah, let's go have a beer. And he's looking at me kind of weird like. And I said, what's going to happen when you have that beer? What's going to happen if you have two beers or three beers or four beers? It's going to get through the gut and it's going to go to the brain and you're immediately going to have some effect. Why would you not think that a lot of the stuff that we eat and we drink and we breathe that gets to the gut doesn't also get to the brain? So as far as we know, when a baby is born, the baby's gut is sterile from its mouth to the bottom. There's no bacteria there. They're locked up inside that amniotic fluid to keep them separated from the world so bacteria can't get to them. When they're born, the bacteria that is first introduced to them, which is going to be through the birth canal, the fluids that are in the birth canal are going to go in the mouth and the ear and the nose and all over the skin. And if that mother was healthy, she has very healthy flora in the birth canal, and that baby's off to a good start. As long as it's nursed, it must be nursed. We have identified somewhere between 300 and 400 ingredients in mother's milk. There's over 200 different kinds of sugars that are necessary for the developing brain of that baby. And if the baby does not get that, if the baby is born by C-section, and I understand there are some emergency situations where there's no alternative to that. Mm-hmm. But if the baby's born by C-section, the first introduction of bacteria into that baby that is going to line the gut wall is going to be the nurse, the doctor, the equipment that's used in the procedure, not the mother's flora. And so that baby's off to a rough start to begin with. And then if it's given formula, that child, it's going to become a statistic over and over again. So when you see these things that you're bringing up, you know, this increase in drugs for these kids because their brains didn't get the proper chance to develop because the connection between the gut and the brain was way out of balance.
I wonder, when we were in the womb, you and I are about the same age, you're a little younger than I am, but I have now found out, you know, I've been going through this sort of research project to find out why I have had phlegm and a little congestion, and it's gone on. And in the wintertime, it's not as bad as it is in the summertime. But finally, I got I actually have checked this out in the last week with two people, and I'm going to another one on Thursday. But the word that was used sort of brought me up short in that it is a word that was what my mother had when she died. So having somebody tell me that I have secondhand smoke emphysema I have the complications of secondhand smoke emphysema. The doctor says there are people who live to be 110 with this. So it's only a word, but it is what you have because your mother smoked when you were in the womb and she smoked around you until she died. So you couldn't help but get it. And I wonder how many other, I ask the question because my whatever goes on in my body is something we can talk about. I'm happy to be a guinea pig for conversation. But how many other millions of people like me at our age went through the same thing and are walking around with the same problem and they don't have it diagnosed properly?
Yeah.
They're not getting the proper care. I know I'm taking a homeopathic combination of things. Every time I get a cough, I have a cupful of sort of like tea, and it clears me right up, stops. And I go to the acupuncturist, and she treats my lungs and cleans this stuff out, and I'm not any the worse for wear than I was 40 years ago. Well, but yet it's hearing that word, Jack, that got me to, okay, I'm getting to the bottom of this once and for all now. And so
I'm glad to hear that because my mother smoked while I was in the womb.
Yeah.
And she smoked around me after I was born for a number of years. And so the two of us got off to a bad start. But here's some forbidden information for women out there right now thinking about, well, I don't want my sons ending up as crazy as Doug and Dr. Jack. What can I do? If they're like the woman that I was discussing there earlier, they can take probiotics like a mad woman the last week or so, maybe 2 weeks of their pregnancy. The point is to get that flora embedded in the gut as much as possible. Yep. So even if a newborn is around smoke, it won't be nearly as serious as it otherwise would be. We make most of our serotonin and dopamine in the gut.
Yeah,
the major neurotransmitters of our conscious life.
Which is what your brain works on.
And if the gut doesn't get off to a good start to make that stuff, we end up with what's going on today. And it carries over just like secondary. Now, what was it you called it? The secondary
secondary emphysema, smoke emphysema.
Something like that?
That's what it's called.
I wonder if that, you know, you often notice that there's a change in my voice on the air when you and I are talking together.
Yeah.
And every now and then this thing creeps up inside of me as well. I wonder if that's not the same thing. Because I know I got more than probably what kids get today as far as smoke as a newborn or as a developing baby.
But then you see these crazy kids that
are
out
smoking. She was born in 1920.
She
started smoking in high school. She told me about it. She had to hide it from her parents, hide it from everybody else except for the little peer group she ran around in. But from then on, she smoked until she got breast cancer. Then she stopped smoking after that and then, you know, still lived to be in her 80s. But I think I might be in the same group you're in, Doug.
Let's go back. Let's back up just for a second, because Jack and I were talking about now I'm forgetting what it's called. It's called, secondhand smoke emphysema.
Yes.
And what, you know, it's about what you got being around people who smoke, whether it's they smoke today and you're with them, or you were with them when you were younger. Likely had more of an impact when you were younger. But there's a standard process product that Jack has access to and other people that sell standard process. I'm not getting paid to say this, but I know from my own experience that standard process products are the best because they're made out of real food. There's nothing in them that's artificial. There's nothing from a laboratory. It's all done naturally. So what is pneumotrophen? What does that do for people like you and me who have this excess, extra smoke in our body that we had no...
Well, it's something that's referred to as a protomorphogen. And Standard Process makes over 20 different protomorphogens for the different organs of the body. And what it is a strong collection of the nucleic acids, the DNA of that particular tissue. And when you take it orally and it gets down into the gut... Your immune system recognizes this is a tremendous concentration of something that should not be here.
Mm-hmm.
And your immune system you may be having an autoimmune problem taking place. It could be the brain, it could be the heart, it could be the liver, it could be the kidneys, the adrenals. In this particular case, the lungs, which is why it's called pneumotrophen. And what it does simply is it stops the autoimmune attack against the lungs. Now, there is research out there that's indicating that almost every disease process in the body, if it's been there long enough, turns into an autoimmune disease. The immune system finally starts to attack the tissue that seems to be in a degenerative.
What would be
breakdown.
An example of that?
Heart disease, for one thing. DeBakey Institute in Houston, Texas, the people that did the start of the heart transplant stuff, said all heart disease is autoimmune. You can check the blood of anybody with cardiomyopathy, and there's going to be autoimmune system going on against the heart itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that extends to the other organs as well. And pneumotrophen is for the lungs.
All right. So when you take this symptom survey at ForbiddenDoctor.com, everybody's encouraged to do this. It takes you about 30 minutes. It's free. Jack offers it as a public service. Go to ForbiddenDoctor.com, take the symptom survey, and then they'll get back to you with recommendations about what you might do to improve your lot in life. And maybe this will be one way of fixing a problem like that many people have. We don't even know. We have. Look at me. I've been trying to get to the bottom of this. It's taken me, 3 years to actually find out what this is. And having a name on it makes it easier for me somehow or other to deal with it, and you as well. But find out what the natural alternatives are to get in the way of some of these things going on in your body, getting the best of you.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had this crazy thing happen with my eyesight. I went back to get my contact lenses done. And my optometrist, and I'm 46, he said, "This is really weird, but your eyesight is better." I'm like, can't believe it, but I think it's these vitamins I'm taking.
I'm a huge believer in the product. I've tried lots of stuff, and like this is like the only real thing that I've ever, you know, because of all these comparisons with all the other stuff I've had, this is by far the best thing, and consistently.
We're so healthy now on the Balance of Nature. There's no words to say how well it works.
Doing good on it, really. I'm feeling my skin is softer, and I feel good.
When you call, use discount code DJV, and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
We're focused in on things that are going on with you that you may not actually be thinking about. So Jack is good when it comes to the chiropractic upper end of your body, understands what goes on in the middle of your body, the GAPS practitioner, what's in your gut. And he also is very good at understanding how supplementation works. And that's why much of his practice at his clinic is based on, once the people who come into the clinic or people who are listening on the air take the symptom survey at Forbidden Doctor, then they get exposed to all kinds of different ideas that will help you live longer. It's preventative as well as dealing with what may be going on at the moment. So we were talking about this Nemo, and I now have...
Pneumotrophin.
That too. What that does. So it cleanses your cellular structure of what?
What it does is it pulls your antibodies, your antibodies that are attacking a particular organ, away from the organ. It doesn't heal the organ. It stops the autoantibody attack against it. So then you can do things to rebuild the organ at the same time you're doing this. You should be taking with, and me too, you know, I raise my children with do what I say, not what I do. And I do that with a lot of my patients. Do what I say, don't do what I do. But here's what you and I need to do. We need to be taking 6 Pneumotrophin when you first wake up in the morning on an empty stomach, and 6 at night just before you go to bed. If you'll commit to do that, I'll commit to do
that. I'll commit to do it.
And we both will sound different on the air. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we will.
This will allow the lungs to heal.
Speak for yourself. I think I sound fine on the air, but that's... Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. We'll keep our eye on that. Other things that you can find out about that are very helpful, the long life energy enzymes that Jack and his wife, Mary, put together formulaically, and they've done extraordinarily well. Thousands and thousands of these have been sold around the country to people who understand that you need to have enzymes in your gut. The name says it all, long life energy enzymes. They're for energy, and they're to make sure your gut is working properly. So the people who want to know the difference between a enzymes, probiotic, prebiotic, how do they all function together? What's the difference between one and the other?
Well, first enzymes, almost every single reaction inside the body, and you have billions every nanosecond taking place inside cells, outside of cells, almost all those reactions are triggered with an enzyme to some degree. The enzyme brings chemicals together. An enzyme breaks a chemical down. Mm-hmm. And so enzymes are absolutely crucial to life. A prebiotic is something that feeds the probiotic. A prebiotic, something like inulin, it's an indigestible fiber that you take orally, just a little bit, but it gets into the gut because you can't digest it. But the bacteria, the good bacteria that live in there, will feast on this inulin. And that good bacteria is, if you were, like we talked at the beginning of the show, fortunate enough to be born of a healthy mother through the birth canal, you probably have some really good flora in the gut. And just a little bit of a prebiotic, a little pro now and then if you feel ill, will do you a world of good. If you were born otherwise through C-section and were not nursed, you constantly need to be taking prebiotics and probiotics, and unfortunately they only work when you take them. Once you stop taking them, they're not working any longer.
Really?
Because your gut
has... There's no cumulative effect, then, in other words.
No, the gut has already been embedded by the wrong bacteria. That doesn't mean it's a life sentence that you're condemned to bad bacteria, because you can be taking probiotics all the time. And what's pro just means first life. The probiotics are the bacteria that live inside the gut that we have a symbiotic relationship with. They give us B vitamins. They give us amino acids. They give us chemical messengers. They give us boosts to our immune system. In return, we give them moisture and food and warmth. And it's a true symbiotic relationship that's going on all the time. And Mary's always saying, take your Pneumotrophin, take your probiotics, take your supplements. Because she does this religiously 3 times a day, probably the healthiest 56-year-old woman I've ever seen in my life. And you've seen her. You know,
real happy
you know
that. Yeah. You told everybody she was 56. We don't worry about our time, but heavenly days.
I say that because she doesn't look anything like 56.
No, she doesn't.
And it's often mentioned to her that they think, well, she may be in her early, mid-40s at the latest. No, she's 56. Right. And she is regularly, and she's always telling me, take your Pneumotrophin. Take your Pneumotrophin. We've known each other for about 20 years, and she says, for as long as I've known you, I can hear you coughing from time to time.
Yep,
I hear you coughing in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And you know what? It never dawned on me, Doug, until what you said early at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. this secondary thing, because to repeat myself again, before I was born, my mother was a heavy smoker, and she was a heavy smoker thereafter. And I was raised in that kind of an environment. So I have got to get back to a religious approach to my Pneumotrophin. 6 in the morning before I get out of bed, 6 at night before I get into bed. And you do the same thing, and let's watch what happens.
So if you have the symptom survey done at ForbiddenDoctor.com, maybe something like that will come up, and you can deal with it with Jack and his staff's help. The FDA has approved another wrinkle filler. Here we go. Those of you hoping to smooth the wrinkles on your face, around your nose, and around your mouth now have another option, a wrinkle filler called Restylane, R-E-S-T-Y-L-A-N-E, which has been used in Europe for a long time. It's the third injectable wrinkle treatment to win approval from the FDA. The product is now being used by dermatologists. So what do we think? What are the other options other than having needles stuck into your skin? A lot of people are interested in the exterior as well as the interior, Jack.
Yes.
So what do we tell people when it comes to this sort of thing? All right, you want your face to look smooth and lovable or whatever.
You know, we actually have a podcast on this.
Really?
Yeah, we call it Chicken Neck. But what
chicken
it is.
Chicken Neck.
Yeah, it's a breakdown of the collagen in the skin. And so what they're trying to do, I assume that is a prescriptive drug. I've never heard of it.
It looks like it to me. Yeah, it's an injectable.
Yeah, and it's something that's injectable, so you've got to go to somebody who injects stuff. But you can do this. If you give your body the raw material it needs to build collagen, it'll build all the collagen that it needs. It takes the essential amino acids, and it takes a good whole food source of vitamin C. That's why we recommend Protofood and Cataplex C for this chicken neck thing that some, you know, the neck begins to hang. And why does it hang? Because we live in gravity, and gravity pulls on the tissue, and anything that's lost its collagen strength or begins to lose its collagen strength is going to go the way of gravity, including the neck, the jowls, the eyelids, and all these things come back to a weakening of the collagen that's in the body. And I'm trying to look up, I got my list here in front of me, I'm trying to look up which podcast that is. It was an early one. But it's about, here it is, number 22, Urinary Incontinence, Chicken Neck, and How to Fix Them Both. Podcast number 22.
There you go.
And here, or you can take a risk with a drug and have it injected in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how we're designed to get our nutrition, through injections in the skin.
You can check all the podcasts out at ForbiddenDoctor.com. All right, let's get to one other item here. We were in the pharmaceutical bin. This is easy prey for Jack and me. A senior executive with the largest pharmaceutical company in England admitted that prescription drugs don't work on most people who take them. Why would a person who works in the pharmaceutical industry make statements like that? What does it indicate about the placebo effect in medicine? What evidence exists regarding the efficacy of prescription drugs? I think that's the most important question here. You got all these people, the money that's being spent to advertise. There, most of the, if you go watch any of the shows on CBS, for example, and NBC is the same, but CBS skews a little older. Every single spot break, they have one, at least one drug spot in there. Millions being spent to give you stuff that, for the most part, according to this guy, won't work.
You know, most countries in Europe do not allow drugs to be advertised on television.
Right. It's like cigarette smoking here.
Yeah, it's just like cigarette smoking here. Along with this fellow, Marcia Engel, who was the editor of the New England Journal of Medicine for over 20 years, has recently written a book. The title of it escapes me at the moment. But she says you can't trust any of this research. She's the editor. She was the editor of the New England Journal, the most pristine medical journal in America. She says you can't trust any research anymore. It's bought and paid for. And so, you know, and then you know how much efficacy a drug has to represent to be approved by the FDA? 7%.
Yeah.
All it has to be is 7% effective to get approval by the FDA.
Yep. All right. Here's something else to chew on. As long as we're in England, their veterinary association this week saw the need to issue a statement that dogs can't develop autism. The statement came from people being concerned about all the vaccines now that are being requested for dogs, because a lot of people think that autism is caused by vaccines in children. Same thing, why wouldn't it happen in dogs? And I'm not buying their answer. I don't see why wouldn't it have, if you give them the same drugs, why wouldn't it have the same impact on them?
Yeah.
Something
maybe we can
else
talk
that people
about that next week
are not thinking about. You want to be described as a NUCA chiropractor, a GAPS practitioner, and what do you want to have people know that have never heard you before about your attitude toward using drugs versus the all-natural ingredients and some of the products?
There's a time when drugs are necessary. If you are in a life-threatening crisis situation, then you turn to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We have managed to be on this planet for as long as we have without the drugs.
Yeah,
that
have right.
Up in the last few decades.
That's a great point to make. So there's a website that Jack has made me aware of. We're going to post it, statinvictims.com, because you have some patients who have been on statins following some kind of a cardiac event, and now their cholesterol is a problem. So what statin is supposed, statin drugs, there are four or five popular ones, are supposed to do what?
What they do is they stop the liver from producing cholesterol. Cholesterol is absolutely essential for life.
Mm-hmm.
So many hormones that are part of our conscious reality have cholesterol as a base.
But we have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol.
Well,
so does statin deal with the good cholesterol, the bad cholesterol, or all cholesterol?
It just stops the body from making cholesterol, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good cholesterol, bad cholesterol is a marketing term.
LDL, HDL.
Yeah. You know, it's the LDL. It's the small-pocketed LDL that collects in the plaquing of an artery.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the problem. The problem is why the plaquing takes place in the first place.
Why does it take place?
Well, because of some kind of irritation, inflammation that's going on inside the arterial structure. Two major causes: way too much sugar in the diet, which brings on the insulin. And the constant flow of insulin through the arterial structure causes constant inflammation inside the arteries, and your body is constantly trying to take care of it with Band-Aids. And
so
that's what
the statins have been implicated in Alzheimer's. That's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. Now, Stephanie Seneff, a very well-known researcher at MIT, also has the one other website I really want to push, Space Doc, like outer space, spacedoc.com. This is the website for the cardiologists who take care of astronauts. They will not let an astronaut in space without higher than normal levels of cholesterol, because your brain won't work without it. So those two websites, statinvictims.com and spacedoc.com, worth taking a look at.
Wow, that's really pretty amazing. So give us in 10 seconds what you do if you have the problem of you got too much cholesterol. What do you do?
Well, you start looking for the reasons why it's getting up there. And by high, I mean 400 or 500.
Yeah.
Anything less than 400 and 500, don't worry about it. The higher it is, the longer you'll live. That's the latest research.